We're in lesson 57 in the book of Daniel. If you'd be turning to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. And we've been in the book of Daniel for some time now, guys. And we got between now and the catching away to go through the book of Daniel. But anyway, Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. Let's go to word and prayer. Father, once again, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the things you've given us. We thank you for the families that was here today and the families that are listening. We thank you for the praise and reports. We thank you for the things you've given us freely through your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, upon thy holy city, to finish the transgressions, and to make of end of sins, and to make reconciliation of iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Now, we left off last lesson talking about there's six things listed as being the purpose of the 70 weeks. And if you remember what they were, to finish transgressions, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. So there's six things there that's going to bring the prophecy program to fruition, and Daniel is being told this by Gabriel. Now, as we was working through here, you got to remember, Peter talked in Acts chapter 3. Could be to turn into Joel chapter 3 and get Isaiah 53. When Peter talked about in Acts chapter 3, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Let me ask you something right quick. When Peter was saying that, was that before the cross or after the cross? In Acts chapter 3, was that before the cross or after the cross? When he's telling the nation Israel that he's going to send Jesus Christ back.
After.
It's after the cross. So if you think that when he's going to send Jesus Christ back, it's not before the cross, it's after the cross. So Peter's talking about a time period over here in the second coming. We may touch on that again in a little bit, but I just want you to think about that. He's talking about ages to come, about something. Daniel's talking about ages to come, about something. Now, I told you to turn to Joel chapter 3. Joel is talking about the coming of Christ and his roaring. We're talking about these six things in the book of Daniel chapter 9. There are six things there, and Jesus Christ and his roaring. And Joel chapter 3, verse 16, says, "The Lord also shall roar out of Zion, and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people, and the strength of the children of Israel." That's over here what Peter's talking about. With me? You ever notice here's Joel chapter 3, Peter's talking in Acts chapter 3. Remember what Peter was talking about in Acts chapter 2? This is that was spoken out of the prophet of the mouth of Joel. Mm-hmm. So they're using the Old Testament prophets in explaining what's going to happen in the future. It's not this future that you live in.
Right.
Okay? Then he looked down to verse 20 in Joel chapter 3. "But Judah shall dwell forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation." That's the millennial kingdom over here that he sets up for 1,000 years. Verse 21. "For I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Lord dwelleth in Zion." And what that happens over there is that second advent, okay? What he's taking place over there. Now, when Daniel chapter 9, we're talking about 70 weeks has to do with the bringing of reconciliation for iniquity. He is talking about that second advent over in the Day of Atonement. Okay? That's where he's talking about. Now, many people might say this. Well, why didn't it happen at the cross? Or wasn't it at the cross when he gave the Day of Atonement? Okay? And he says this. Go to Isaiah chapter 53 and get Psalms chapter 22. Now, why isn't it that happened at the cross? We know a lot of things happen at the cross, don't we? And by the cross things happen. But in Isaiah chapter 53, these are some great passages about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. Isaiah 53, verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, who is the he was there?
Jesus Christ.
There's no doubt about it, right?
Yep.
Now, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, who is the all there?
Israel.
Who is the we there?
Israel.
Very good. Very good. He's talking to the Israel here. It's written to Israel. Because you know verses, and we may touch on verses later, that Jesus Christ said, I have not come but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Mm-hmm. He told his disciples not to go to the Gentiles. Okay? We know about the Samaritan woman that in Matthew 15:24, where she came up and said, my daughter's grievous vexed with the devil. He had nothing to do with her. Jesus Christ did. That's to me sets a lot of people back when you share that, but there's still good news in Paul's epistles. That's why you got a rightly divided word of truth. So verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Do you see that? Whose people?
My people.
Who's my people here, guys?
Israel.
The nation Israel. You know in Matthew 20, you don't have to turn there, but he talks about Matthew chapter 20, even the Son of Man came not to minister but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Who is the many in Matthew, what he's talking about?
Israel.
Very good, Israel. Now look down to chapter, verse 10 of the same chapter. Verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Now notice what he says here. Thou shalt make his soul an offering for what? Sin. Where did he do that at? At the cross. Okay, right here where he made his offering for sin. His soul an offering for sin. Then he expresses he shall see his seed. When is that? Future. Yeah, future. That's a future over there. So he has it right here. Then over there is where he's going to see his seed. Now, the Old Testament prophets could read that in one sentence, talking about the cross, then a comma, then the future. So a lot of people can't make that distinction. There's a lot of gaps in between commas. Here's another one, if you think about it. And he makes his soul an offering for his sin, and shall see his seed. He shall see his seed in that second advent over there. You don't want to see who his seed is?
Sure.
Go to Psalms chapter 22. Psalms chapter 22. You remember in Genesis chapter 3, he says, I'll put enmity between the woman's seed and our seed and the woman's seed. This is a battle from day one. It's the seed. And there's a seed line. If you want to believe that, you can. But it's there's life in a seed. Okay? There really is. If you don't have a seed, and sometimes it has to die before you can plant it, don't you? Jesus Christ died. Now he's planting, we're planting his seeds, if you will, in dispensation of grace. But Psalms 22, verse 30. Psalms 22, verse 30. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation.
Sorry, I couldn't find Zafino in your music.
That's not me. That's you.
Sorry, guys.
That nosy woman's always speaking up.
That was Siri answering my question, but she couldn't find the answer in Psalms chapter 22. But anyway, we had to look in the Word of God to find it, right? You don't have to find it in Siri, but you find it in the Word of God. But anyway, it happens to me all the time. You know, I mentioned that one joke with Tom. We was talking about the book of Job. And
don't say your name.
Okay. And she opens up and plays... take this job and shove it. No, you know, job, but anyway, you had to be there. And it's like, whoa. Anyway, I can say my wife's name. I can say my wife's name, and my phone will answer. She won't answer, but my phone will answer. I'm just joking. But anyway, I'm digging a deep hole here, guys. But look, Psalms 22, verse 30. A seed shall serve him. I've mentioned that already. And it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. When is that? When will that seed serve him for a generation? Is it going on now?
No.
You know, a lot of people out there points to you and say, you're the nation of Israel today. You replace Israel spiritually. That's not true. That's error. He's going to serve him a generation, and it is in that kingdom over there. Look at verse 28. Here's the answer. For the kingdom is the Lord, and he is the governor among the nations. And in a prophecy, a prophetic program, their people are looking for that national day of atonement. And the Jew, in all reality, never saw himself as an individual. He always saw himself as in that nation. So, and if you think about it, and when Acts chapter 3, we started with that, verse 19, that is a national day of atonement. When Peter's standing up talking in Acts chapter 3, he's not talking to individuals. He's talking to the leaders of Israel. So that's who he went to, and they had together become atonement. Now, grant you, they was individuals got saved there. I believe that wholeheartedly. Now, verse 31, Psalms 31. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Now, shall be born. Does that kind of ring a bell?
Mm-hmm. Born again.
Born again. John 3, chapter 3, verses 3 and 7. You know what Isaiah, and people said, how can you be born in a day? Remember how Nicodemus talked about mm-hmm. this stuff? With God, anything's possible. In Isaiah chapter 66, you can write this in your notes. But he says, who have heard such a thing? Verse 8. Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? What's the answer to that? For as soon as Zion traveled, she brought forth her children. So over here, there's going to come a time when she runs through the wilderness, they're going to be born again. They're going to have to be born again to go into the kingdom. Now, Israel is looking for a national day of atonement. That's what we're talking about in this sixth thing. And for a nation. Just like Daniel is praying for her, but the angel comes Gabriel comes there and says, there's going to be 70 weeks on your city. and your nation. And when it's finished, there's going to be take care of your iniquity, and it's finished. It's all over with. And so reconciliation and atonement for the nation will be there at that time. Now, all these things about the 70th week time period begins to focus on the prophecy to end and complete the program, okay? Go back to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. To make reconciliation of iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness. Now, where would that, what would that be? If you think about it, if he's going to make reconciliation for iniquity and bring in everlasting righteousness, where's that going to take place at? Now? In the dispensation of grace?
Ages to come.
Okay, it's going to happen in the kingdom. Over here in the kingdom. That kingdom age has not happened yet, guys. You can build a kingdom all you want to, but you, in order to have a kingdom, you've got to have a what? A king. And where is the Lord Jesus Christ at today? He is in royal exile. They crucified the king. And it says, and to seal up visions and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. So these are things that's going to take place that Daniel was talking about. It's going to take place over there. And when it's all said and done, it's going to be a glorious day for Israel. Now, when you seal up the vision and prophecy, it's going to be fulfilled. As Brother Deds would say, fulfilled. You know, but it's fulfilled. It's going to be realities. The words to seal up. What do you think about seal up? Does many of you can. Many of you preserve things. What does that mean to be sealed up?
Secure.
Sealed up. It's finished.
Yeah.
Okay? You don't break that seal until you need it. But it's finished. And you take something in a package, you put it on the shelf, and you don't need it no more unless you need it.
Done.
Yeah. It's done. Now, I looked in our pantry yesterday looking for a can of green beans, and there's all kinds of pickle stuff in there. All kind of relish, all kinds of that type. Well, I didn't want relish. I wanted green beans. I had to find a can of green beans from the store. But anyway, it was good. I mean, I'm thankful. Don't get me wrong. I'm thankful for all things. But the idea is that to fulfill is its function, and the job is over. Now, the prophecy is going to be fulfilled, and it's going to become a reality. If you notice today when you talk about prophecy, people's ears perked up. They're looking at the things that are going around them right today, and they swear we're in the last days. They swear that the end time's coming. They would think the President of the United States is the Antichrist sitting in the government right now. No. This is what Daniel's talking about, that time period over there. And look, they're going to have to be a reality, and that's what they've been looking for. They're not spiritualizing this, guys. It's going to be a reality. Now, think about this a minute. Being fulfilled. Okay? We talked about the sealing up and stuff. Get Matthew. Get Luke, get John. Get Matthew, get Luke, get John.
Chapter.
Matthew chapter 11, verse 13. Matthew chapter 11, verse 13. For all the prophets and the law prophesies unto what?
John.
You see that? So all the prophets and the law prophesies to John. Then what happens? Who comes on the scene after John?
Jesus Christ.
And what does he do? Fulfill all righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Verse 26. Ought not Christ had to have suffered these things and to enter his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. You see what he's doing? He's using the word of God. He's backing up what Moses and all the prophets says. Verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that these things must be fulfilled, which was written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Verse 45. Then opened he their understandings that they might understand what? Now they've been with the Lord Jesus Christ all this time, and now he opens up their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Do you know today that you can understand the scriptures? You don't need a book about the book about the book. You can read the book. And the book that I have in the King James Bible is written in sixth grade English. Yeah, I know the these and the thous that throws you off. But look, ye are welcome. And you especially. Does that make... That's still dealing with you and ye. Thee. Thou stops with a person. But that's not hard to... Well, it took me almost 50-some years to understand some things. English is not my greatest subject, guys. Either is math, and you're going to see that here in a little bit. John chapter 19. John chapter 19, verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it in his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it's finished. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. You think Jesus Christ fulfilled some things while he's on there, cross? Yes. He ended some things there. Daniel chapter 9. Get Malachi chapter 3. Turn to Malachi chapter 3. To anoint the most holy. The anointing of the most holy is back in chapter 8 of Daniel, but is identified as the cleansing of the sanctuary. Now, let me ask you something right now. Are they a temple built in Jerusalem?
A temple?
That Israel goes and makes their daily sacrifices right now?
No.
No. No, it's not. It's not built. Malachi chapter 3. See how Lord Jesus Christ, he comes back. He comes back to the sanctuary, the temple. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. First one. Behold, I will send my messenger. He shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Now who's the messenger? Who did Jesus Christ send? Who the Lord God send to as a messenger?
Well, John.
John who?
John the Baptist.
Very good. John the Baptist, right? Yep. And so think about this. From Malachi to Matthew, there's 400 years of silence. The Lord God Almighty did not speak audibly. They had his word, and this is what he says. Behold, I'll send a messenger. That messenger is John the Baptist in the book of Matthew. And in Revelation, the messengers, you know who in the book of Revelation, who the messenger is?
Jesus Christ.
Elijah. Okay? Elijah. C minus there, young lady. Anyway. It says, the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. He comes back to the temple, And he talks about anoint the most holy. And he's talking about the Lord and his Shekinah glory that left that temple. See, Jesus, the Lord God Almighty was sitting in the temple between the cherubims, right? We're going to see this in a few minutes, if you bear with me, and I'm going to see how well you remember when we first started the book of Daniel, that how the Lord left that. And he's talking about the coming back right over there at the end of 70 weeks at the second coming of Lord Jesus Christ, and it's described in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. But turn to Matthew chapter 23. In Matthew chapter 23. Now, let me ask you something. Before you turn to Matthew, what is the last verse, last word in Malachi? You know
curse.
That, what is it?
Curse.
You notice the last word in your Bible, in what we call the Old Testament, it's curse. Is that a good thing or bad thing?
Bad. Yeah.
What does Galatians chapter 3 say? This is just a little side note. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. For as many as are the works of the law are under what?
Curse.
The curse. It is written, cursed is everyone that continue not in all things which was written in the book of the law to do them. So that curse is a continuation of that law. So if you want to put yourself under a law today, guess what you're under?
A curse.
A curse. That's not good.
Yeah.
If you remember, Israel had cursings and blessings. That's not a good thing, guys. Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. Verse 38. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. What's that house?
Israel.
Not only Israel, but where are they at? He's standing there, your house is left unto you desolate.
In the land.
What's he talking about here?
Temple.
The temple. Very good. Yeah. A plus, brother. A plus. See? You got it going on, man. But behold, your house is the house is the temple. It's there, physically there. And verse 39, I say unto you, it shall not, ye, who's he talking to? Ye, the leaders, Israel, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, when is that going
to
happen?
Ages to come.
Chapter 24, verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him, for he showed him the buildings of the temple. Christ left the temple. Okay? He leaves the temple. The Shekinah glory is gone. You remember back in, hold your finger there, and go to 1 Samuel. Way back over here. 1 Samuel chapter 4. 1 Samuel chapter 4. If you have the right Bible, it's on page 323. This is what was said back in 1 Samuel, okay? 1 Samuel chapter 4. 1 Samuel chapter 4. Verse 21. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 21. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. So Ichabod, is the glory is departed from Israel. And Christ walks out of that temple. And he says, I'm the glory. I'm leaving you. And you're not going to see me again till I come back over there. Now, who is the Lord Jesus Christ?
Son of God.
He's Son of God. He's God, okay? And he's leaving Israel, the glory of God. He's there. That's why in the book of Matthew, when we study the book of Matthew, it portrays Jesus Christ as king. And he was waiting on the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now look, let me ask you something. Jesus is going to come and anoint and bring back the glory to that holy place over there. Now, during the tribulation period right here, that temple's built back. But who's in that temple in the tribulation period? The Antichrist. Very good. And he's sitting on the throne as God. We looked at that over and over. Now, I mentioned this before. When we started the book of Daniel, I'm just going to refresh your memory because this plays into right here where we're at. Daniel, we talked about God leaving Israel. That's what we're talking about. Going, going, gone. Now, in Daniel chapter 1, you don't have to turn there, but I'm just going to refresh your memory. And Jeremiah chapter 27, the fall of Israel, politically, the times of Gentiles begin when King Nebuchadnezzar goes in and God gives the Jews over to Nebuchadnezzar. And up to this point, no one nation controlled all the other nations. And Israel claimed to be head of the nations. Remember? If you think about it, there was no other nation that God was not with other than Israel. And people, all the other nations saw that. That's why we would talk about when that general went in that city, Jerusalem, he said, Jeremiah told you these things. See, them Gentile nations knew who God was. They saw what God was doing in the nations. And God puts a stop to Israel's world leadership until the second coming comes. Daniel chapter 1 verse 2 says, God has set aside Israel politically. What I'm going to share with you, going, going, gone, why Israel's not a political figure as God had them in the past. Ezekiel 21, 25, you don't want to turn there, but I am going to have you turn to a passage in a little bit. But prophecy, the crown that was on Israel, being the head of the nation, is taken away from Israel. And there's one coming back over here in the second coming that's going to have that crown. Okay? It's not on Israel anymore. And 2 Chronicles and Joshua talks about that God's dealing with the earth. He changed that dealing. And Jehovah's relationship with the earth when the times of Gentiles began. So, think about this for a minute. When did the times of the Gentiles begin?
Time passed. They began right there when Daniel was in captivity.
Right. Chapter 2 is when he's talking about Daniel's captivity. In Psalms 97 is a picture of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And Micah 4:13, Daniel's Israel has been set aside politically. When they went into captivity, okay, when they went into captivity, they're no longer that nation, favored nation status. They're being controlled. But however, when they went into captivity over here, was they still spiritually with God?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. God has not set them aside spiritually yet. But he did politically. And the Jews are still God's people at this time. Mm-hmm. And under captivity. It's not until the book of Acts that Israel is set aside spiritually. Now, there's three failures in Israel politically. There was three kings there. That Jeroboam, Zedekiah, okay? And each one of those kings is who Nebuchadnezzar went and took over. But that last king, Zedekiah, you know he was a blind king? He couldn't see. So he ended up with a blind king, a blind Jew, if you will. And the three kings of Israel that were captured by Nebuchadnezzar. Now, if you compare that with the three-step opportunity of Israel spiritually restored for the kingdom. Now, God's still dealing with Israel spiritually after captivity, right? Mm-hmm. Now, when John the Baptist comes on the hand, you heard me say this once, you heard me say it 1,000 times. John the Baptist was a man sent from God. He had a message. The kingdom of heaven is at what? What did they do to him?
Cut his head off.
They rejected it. They cut him head off. Strike one. Then he said, then the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Messiah, Son of the living God, he had a message. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. What'd they do to him?
Crucified.
Rejected him. Crucified him. Then the Holy Spirit with the apostle. The kingdom of heaven is offered. It was at hand, at hand. He dies, buried, and rose again, comes back. There's a year there that is being offered to him. It wasn't offered in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It was at hand. Now it's being offered because he received up the glory to come back. What did they do to him?
Stoned.
Go to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. You end it with a blind king. Politically, which was a Jew, Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verse 6. And this is Paul talking here, right? Acts 13. Acts 13, verse 6. And when they had gone through the isles of Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew by the name of Bar-Jesus, which was the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But it was Elymas, the sorcerer, for so it is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes upon him, and said, O full of subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Verse 11. Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and darkness, and he went about seeking someone to lead him by hand. You know what that is right there? A blind what?
King.
A blind Jew. Politically, blind Jew. Here's a spiritually, a blind Jew. In Romans chapter 11, Romans chapter 11, Romans chapter 11, verse 7. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it. And the rest was what?
Blinded.
Verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to what?
Jealousy.
You know, this is opposite to what they was doing. God, through Israel, was supposed to provoke the Gentiles to come to the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Moses over here talks about a foolish nation to provoke. Okay? So what has happened here? Now God has reversed. God is using the Gentiles to provoke Israel to jealousy. That's why Paul comes on the scene. Verse 25. 11:25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye shall be wise in your own conceit, that blindness is in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now, Who's blind?
Israel.
What's people try to do out there in the religious world make you a part of?
Israel.
They want you to be, we know you can't be a real Hebrew, so you're going to take spiritual circumcision. You're going to take spiritual baptism, or literally baptism, what they do. They try to make you a spiritual Jew. That's not what God's doing today. Now, three steps withdrawal from Israel, a blessing from God politically. Ezekiel chapter 9, you don't want to turn there, but for $3.99 you can get the tape. I'm just joking. But look, it's free on the internet, YouTube or whatever. But look, Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 3, the glory of God of Israel leads the cherubim to the house. He's sitting on the throne of God between the cherubims. He gets up. God does. Chapter 10, verse 4 and 18, over the threshold and departs the house. He gets up from the
mercy seat.
He goes straight to the threshold and he departs the house. Then in chapter 11, verse 23, to the mountains of the city. Going, gone. That's how God Almighty left them politically. Spiritually, we saw them deny, right? But did Paul give them up? What was his heart for? His country, I mean, what? Mm-hmm. His kin. He wanted to see them
saved.
And Acts chapter 13, he turns to the Gentiles, Antioch. Chapter 18, he turns to the Gentiles, Greece. Chapter 28, gone to the Gentiles, salvation, earth. Going, gone. Paul even went going, lo, I turn to Gentiles. They did not want to hear them. So don't be surprised today, if you think about it, in the times of the Gentiles, Luke 21, will end the prophetic program. Okay? That's what we looked at. When Jesus Christ comes back over here and defeats this guy, Satan, the times of the Gentiles is over. You're still in the times of the Gentiles, people. So why anything in this world surprise you what's going on? You think they got your best interests spiritually?
Not the world.
It's up to you individually to know who you are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Now, and the fullness of the Gentiles of Romans chapter 11 will end the mystery program. Some of you might be tuning in right now thinking, what in the world? He's talking about prophecy, mystery. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. God made a distinction between the two. And from Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, all the way over to Acts chapter 9, the raising up Paul, this program right here is Focus the Earth, prophecy program. And that's what we're talking about in the future over here, where it's fulfilled. But right now, in the dispensation of grace, we're in a mystery program. So, when you close the book of Acts, and we're not in the book of Acts, it closes Israel's total rejection, spiritually and politically. So, listen, you don't want to build your doctrine off the book of Acts. Many of us have, haven't we? Many of us have been in churches, Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 4. But, you know, I got to thinking, just for a second, in Acts chapter 2, let's go there for a second. You're in Acts. Go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 is Pentecost, 50 days after Passover. You know what they're doing? They're partying. That's what Pentecost was, a feast day. And Acts chapter 2, you should think about something. Verse 22 says, wait a minute. Verse 14 says, but Peter standing up with 11, how many is that? Peter plus 11 is what?
12.
Is Apostle Paul there?
No.
You know, people won't give Matthias any credit.
Some people.
A lot of religious people, but they totally ignore it. Standing up, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Ohio.
No.
Ye men of
Israel.
Who? Judea. And all that dwell in Jerusalem, be it known to you and hearken to my words. So he's speaking to a group of people here. Look at verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth. Ye men of who?
Israel.
And he talks about what he had done. And how they raised up and they crucified the Lord of glory with wicked hands. What does verse 37 say? Now when they heard this, who's they?
Israel.
Was you there?
No.
No, you wasn't there. And you can't make yourself to be there. He says, you men of Israel, excuse me, you have heard this. Now, when they had heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now, what are they to do?
Repent.
Now, who's he talking to?
Israel.
He's talking to a group of Israel individuals. Acts chapter 3. When we open up with this verse. Verse 18. But those things, he says now, well, let's go to verse 12. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of
Israel.
You should have that underlined in your Bible. So when people see you, they're like, wait a minute now. These are some questions right here that was brought to us from some dispensationalists years and years and years and years ago that we went back to our little denominational church and we asked these questions because we was going through the book of Acts. Well, isn't he talking to Israel? You know what they said? Yeah, and just kept on reading like it was no difference. There is a big difference. If you, in your Bible study, if you in your ministry does not make distinction between Israel and the body of Christ, you're in error. You're doing a bad injustice to your soul. Okay? You need to have this on you. You need to understand this. Look, ye men of who?
Israel.
Okay? Verse 13, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and who? And the God of our fathers? Who would that be? Israel, guys. Who's Peter talking to here? He's talking to Israel. He's actually talking to a group of leaders here. And then he says, but those things which God before has showed the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached to you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto his fathers, and he go down through there and says, verse 24, yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that followed after, as many as spoken, as likewise foretold these days, and ye are the children of the prophets. Listen, you're not the children of the prophets. This is not talking to you and I. It's talking to Israel over here being offered that kingdom, and it's going to take place over there when he comes back. You are not there. Where are you? You're down here on this bottom line down here. That's what these Gentiles was. You was considered as a dog. You was uncircumcised. Your father was a devil, guys. I know it might be harsh to some of you out there, but it's true.
In times past.
Speaking of which, Ephesians chapter 2. You saw those two things there. They was individuals, and then there's what? A nation. Acts chapter 2. Excuse me. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm getting ready to close, and we'll pick up this again next week. But look, I got to show some distinction, guys. You wonder how in the world you get all this out of the book of Daniel. Well, if you don't study the book of Daniel rightly divided, then you could say that's me. And next week, I'll share some things. A guy sent me a video and said, you got to watch this, got to watch this. And there's, it's full of holes. Listen, the only way you're going to make yourself get in that tribulation period is make yourself to be Israel, and you're not going through that tribulation period. You know how many people wrote books and failed to see, trying to talk about the tribulation period and the rapture and stuff out here? They made millions off of you guys. And some of you are still buying into that stuff. When Paul talks about the catching away, it's a mystery program right here for the body of Christ that was never made known until here. So you're not going to know the time. You can set your clock, and 7 years from now, it's 2024. A lot of people say that's in the world. You can't do that. You've got to be ready, ready, looking, waiting. But you don't stop working, do you?
No.
You don't sell everything you got and lay it at my feet. You know, you wouldn't buy into that in a heartbeat. I'd have to lie to you. I'm not going to do that. I lied to myself all my life. You know what I'm talking about? I'm a man. It's time to man up. It's time to put your faith in the book. Ephesians chapter 2. You want to know how you was individually? Look what God said you was. Verse 2. Wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in time past in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Individually, us Gentiles was like that. Now Israel's on a different pay scale, pay grade. What about nationally? What about corporately? Look at verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. God made a distinction between circumcision and uncircumcision. Guess where you was at? Gentile. You're down there below. Now, was there an opportunity for a Gentile to be saved in time past?
Yes.
Absolutely. He had to go up under Israel's program. He ate the crumbs that fall from the master's table. He recognized Israel, who they was. He became a proselyte. He got under the law. Okay? So there was opportunities for a Gentile to be saved. But unlike today, that at that time passed, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. Listen, that's how we was as a nations. God did not deal with us as an individual nation. He dealt with Israel as a nation. They're the one. You want to know what they had right quick? Go to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Listen, Israel had it going on, guys. And they're going to have it going on again in the earth in ages to come. But the body of Christ is going to be seated in heavenly places. There's governments up there. Just like there's governments down here. Israel's going to have the governments down here. Body of Christ is going to have governments up there. And Jesus Christ is going to sit in a neutral location, govern it all. Listen, the main thing about the Bible, I've said it once, if I say it 1,000 times, is about authority over a throne over the entire universe. And I know universe is not in the Bible. So don't, you know, go crazy with me. Bible's not in the Bible either. Bible means book. Look at the chapter 9. You want to see who Israel was? Chapter 9, verse 4. Who is Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and promises? Who are the fathers? Who, of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, is who is over all, God blessed forever. Is that a vantage? Wouldn't that be an advantage for Israel?
Yes.
What we read in Ephesians chapter 2, was that advantage or disadvantage? Was it advantage or a disadvantage? In Ephesians chapter 2.
Disadvantage.
A disadvantage. You did not have Christ. You was not a part of adoption. You did not have the glory of the covenants. You had not the law. You did not serve God. You served a God or gods. Daniel chapter 9, right quick. Let's end. Daniel chapter 9. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and unto thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation of iniquities, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up this vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Now the point of the issue of the 70 weeks is to bring prophecy to fulfillment. That's what this is all about. And next week we'll break down a little bit about 49 weeks and that type of thing, 490 years. I may not get too deep into that. Many of you know what that is. My math is not the greatest. And so we'll just maybe shorten that time period. But it does have to do with the last seven years of the prophecy program. Once again, thank you for tuning in to Facebook Live. We really enjoyed singing this morning, and we're going to enjoy some time with them. You can go to www.dispensationalbiblechurch.org if you want to donate to the ministry. There's a donut. I say that all the time. There's a big donut hole right there. Just push the donut hole. That's donate if you want to get towards ministry that way. But we do look forward to hopefully getting back to norm and seeing everybody back at our building until next week. May the Lord completely and richly bless you in all things. Amen.